Good morning, and thank you for joining me on another episode of the Roundtable Talk Show. I am your host, Sharifa Hardy, and I have an amazing show for you today. I've been running, I've been moving. It's 8 o'clock here in Southern California, and we're going to get this show started. But before we do, I'm going to ask you to do what I always ask you to do, and that is to go ahead and share this show, because friends don't let friends miss out on the Roundtable Talk Show. You are going to be so excited. You are going to be so excited. I just met some new friends. I have a returning guest. This show is a show that should not be missed. You know what I need you to do? You know what I need you to do, because I ask you every day at 8 a.m. Pacific Standard Time to do the same thing. If you have a roommate, I need you to go next door. Wake your roommate up. I don't care if it's 8 o'clock in the morning. Wake them up. Get them up. Go over to your neighbor's house. They're trying to rest. Mm-mm. They can rest later after the show. I need you to go ahead and wake them up. Granny, she's been up since 5 a.m. Give Granny a call. Let her know the Roundtable Talk Show is live, because I'm telling you, this is the hottest show out there, the show that you do not want to miss. And all I'm trying to do is help you out, because I don't want you to lose friends. When your friends find out that you watched the Roundtable Talk Show and you didn't let them know, they're going to be mad at you. And I don't want them mad at me. So I'm trying to tell you what to do. So while you're doing that, I'm going to go ahead and introduce my first guest. You have seen this lady before. You may recognize her name. You may recognize her brand. You may even recognize her voice at this point, because she is here with us just about every week these days. And I love her being here, because we always, always, always learn something new from our next guest. And, Sue Wilhite. Good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Sharifa. It's wonderful to be back. One of these days when COVID is gone, we have got to really, like, no kidding, do coffee, do wine, do dinner. We'll probably do breakfast, lunch, and dinner, because we got a lot to catch up on, right?
Yes, that's good. But I tell you right now, I always tell people I don't leave the LBC. So I love to meet, but you're going to have to hop on that plane, come out here, visit me, see me. I'll show you my city.
I'm ready to go. I'll come on down.
Come on down. Now, you are a profit attraction master, and I wanted to be able to get a chance to read your book before our next show, but I didn't get it into the mail until yesterday evening. But here we go. 21 Templates That Run Your World. Tell us a little bit about your book, Sue.
So I wrote that book as a way of using tarot, which many people have massive twitches about. They have a lot of negative press that they've seen and media, and it's all, you know, doom and gloom. And I wanted to bring tarot and what it can do for people in a more positive light. And so 21 Templates uses the tarot as a personality analysis tool. And if, when you find out what your template is, it gives you a sort of a structure. It's kind of like knowing your horoscope, you know, your sun sign, or knowing, you know, where you are in Chinese astrology or something like that. And it's another piece of data, but more importantly, in business, it helps you figure out who your customers are, and helps you to attract your perfect customer. Because once you know how your customer runs and what attracts them, or what makes them run away screaming, then, or run away quietly because they can't stand what you're doing, then you win in business, right?
You know what, Sue? I love what you do. I love your Sweet Sounds of Success podcast. Every time you're on the show, I learn something more from you. I'm a third generation reader. My grandmother was a reader. My mother was a reader. My mother taught me. And I have never, ever, 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 ever in my life heard anything about tarot and business. I don't even see that on the internet. Where did you develop that? How did you develop that aspect?
Well, I have to give credit to my tarot teacher, James Wanless, who I want to persuade to be on your show, because you will absolutely adore him. He's the one who created the deck that I use, the Voyager Tarot. Mm-hmm. And he took Tarot into business. Mm-hmm. and into international business. Mm-hmm. And he uses Tarot as a creativity tool, as a team building tool, as a way of, you know, getting people out of their ruts. Mm-hmm. And he's just a fantastic speaker and really wonderful. And I just followed in his footsteps because I'm all about, I'm about personal growth. I mean, I call it personal growth, but really it's about getting to know who you are so that you can be more of who you are and better at who you are. So for instance, I'm a fool and I embrace the fool mythos, as it were, is I'm always seeking new things. I'm a risk taker. I'm willing to go out and just play and have fun. And sometimes I'm a little naive. It's like, oh, really? That's true? Oh, I didn't know that. and I run into difficulties.
Yeah.
But because I'm a fool, I don't get attached to it. And I just sort of go, oh, okay. Yeah, wrong cliff. Let's not do that again. And go off and do something else.
I love it though, because most people don't understand that Tarot actually stands for the fool's journey.
Yes.
And the reason it's called the fool's journey is because God protects fools and infants. Those are the only two people in the world who don't believe that they know everything. So they're open to what can happen and what is sent to them. So I love it. And being here on the show, one of the things that we do is you've done readings, quick readings before. We've done it for one of the guests. We've done it for the general energy of the day. Now today, I'm just going to pick someone just because that's how I feel. That's the spirit moving today. We're going to go with Melissa, right? So we're going to focus our energy on Melissa. And what
I don't have anything negative to say about it, but like, I never had anything like this done before. But if you ask me what I identify as, like, I identify as a badass. So back like a few months ago, when, I don't know, like this Mercury retrograde and everyone's like, oh, Mercury's in whatever. And I was like, well, while y'all are like losing your minds and blaming every like computer glitch on that, like, I'm just going to go about my business and have a regular day. So I just want you to know what you're like doing when you're going to do this.
That's wonderful. Yeah. Those are the best kind of people, because you there are three types of people. There are people who are all in, who just love it, like me. If I meet somebody, I have to try to figure out or guess their zodiac sign, because I need to know who I'm dealing with. There are people in the middle who don't really care. They might like it. They might agree with it. They might not, you know, be into it. And then the third type of person is like, no, stay away. I don't even want to think about it. You know what I mean? Those type of people. And it's very interesting, which is why I like to incorporate it anytime Sue is on the show, because it surprises people, the simplicity and it's not about fortune telling. I always describe it as a GPS, right? If you need to go somewhere in your car, you set your GPS, but your GPS tells you where you are. Same thing with readings. It tells you where you are, and then it can give you some of the steps that you can take to get where you want to go. But we all have free will. I can tell you it takes 45 minutes on a freeway to get to your destination, but you can always decide to go to a restaurant, to not go. But we just want to provide you guidance to where you are right now. It's a lot of fun, but I also don't want to force anyone past their comfort zone. I just pick someone. So if you like me to go with someone else, I respect your freedom of will and your freedom of choice as well, Melissa.
No, let's do it. I think it'd be best to do it on someone who's like, I don't know about this.
That's the fun people. Those are the fun people.
Yeah. So Melissa, do you have, I mean, we just popped this on you, but do you have a particular question that you would like answered, or the default question is the universe, what's up?
We gonna go with what's
up?
Yeah,
I don't ever talk to the universe, so I don't have a general question. I don't talk to the universe, so what was the other one?
What's up? We need to know what's up. So what does Melissa need to know?
Yeah, what do you need to know? All right.
Yeah.
All right. So the way that this is going to work, because you're not present, and usually my pattern is to have people pick their own cards, because it's not up to me to generate your card, right? So what I'm going to do is I have the cards laid out beside me, and I'm going to take my finger and I'm going to move it across the deck. And you're going to say, three times, we're going to do this. And you're going to say, stop. And I'm going to drop my hand. And wherever my finger touches, I'm going to pull out that card. And then I'm going to start again. And you're going to say, stop. And so on. So got that?
Got it.
Okay. So I am taking the finger and I'm going to move it across the card. So whenever you're ready, say, stop. Card the first. All right. And now we are starting again.
Stop.
Card the second. And one more time.
Stop.
All right. So. All right. What does Melissa need to know? Well, the first thing that she needs to know is this is the moon card. And the moon card is all about part of it, the meaning that's coming up for me is actually being about cycles, because the moon goes bright and dark. And so part of what this is like, okay, pick out, you're in a kind of a cycle right now, and you want to figure out where you are in the cycle and what direction it's going. And whether you want to kind of pause that for a minute or whether you want to continue on this cycle, but it's kind of a spiral, right? You go through it and then you come around and then something has changed. You can't step in the same water twice, you know, you can't step in the same river twice, kind of thing. And so this is all about cycles. So for you, you're in part of a cycle right now. And the second one, and I'll say, because the cycles, you're in a cycle that either is just coming out of darkness, I put that in quotes, where things are obscured, or you're about to begin a cycle of having things not so clear, because the second card is called Courage. It's the Seven of Wands. And this is about recognizing illusion and recognizing that things that seem frightening actually aren't, and they just have funny faces in front of them or bad PR. And so they're you want to look beyond the illusion to what is real, so that when things are obscured, when they're in darkness, you can see through that to what is.
Yes. Oh, what's the third one? This is good.
I picked the wrong people.
You see, I'm over here like she done said, I don't know if it's yours, Melissa, but she's talking to my life right now.
Yeah, that's the way it works. That's the way it works. It always does. It works for me too. So all tarot readings, as far as I'm concerned, are universal. That's just what I figured out. Anyway, the third card is, I love this. It's called the Sage of Crystals in this deck. And Sharifa, this is sort of equivalent to the Knight of Swords, roughly speaking. But the Sage of Crystals in this deck has a very particular meaning. And I don't know if you can see it. It's a little bit tricky to see it in this light, but it's got Einstein on it.
Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah. So I said, this is the knower. The card is called the knower, the one who knows, the one who just gets it. And you've got this
understanding. That's you, right, Melissa? You can identify with that.
Yeah, I can identify with Einstein. I got it.
Badass know-it-all, right?
Yeah, got it. Yeah. I get there every day.
Yeah. So this is about, this reading, to sum up, is there's a place of being that you either are or are kind of heading toward, right? This is the GPS that's saying, you know, bad traffic ahead. And you want to just kind of recognize, excuse me, that where you are going, you know, maybe the GPS says there's bad traffic, but you know that if you get into the left lane, you avoid all the people trying to get off at the bad exit, right? Where it's all jammed. And if you just get in the left lane, you just breeze on by that. You don't have to accept that that backup, as it were. You want to see clearly, so, and you will actually deepen your knowledge.
Absolutely. I love it. I love it. I don't know how Melissa feels. We're going to bring in
our next. I got my fast pass. I got my peach pass. I'm all set for the left lane. I'm good.
That's the message you needed to hear today, Melissa. Amy Trout Hughes in our comments says, Sharifa, I am all in on zodiac signs. So I guess I'm not alone. Someone else feels the same way. But I want to introduce, since we've been having a little fun with Melissa, Melissa Smith of Association of Virtual Assistants. How are you this morning, Melissa?
I'm doing very well. Thank you.
That didn't turn you off too much, did it? Did you just run away?
No, not at all. In fact, like I've never heard, well, first off, I've never heard it even pronounced the way that she pronounced it.
Yes.
So, I mean, I learned something there. I learned something new every day. And then I've never heard it described as GPS. If someone would have asked me, what is a tarot card reading, I would have said it's going to tell your future, period. Had no idea anything else about it. So
yeah, it's the same way I was using to describe it as, like, we all tell the future all the time. Don't we tell our kids, if you go to school and get an education, you're not going to be homeless, right? Like, if you go to college, you'll be more successful. If you actually have a job, you can actually pay your rent. Like, those are the things that if you do those things today, then it would affect your future. So that's the same thing. But I gave so much time today, mainly because I was having a lot of fun, which is bad and unfair. But tell us about the Association of Virtual Assistants.
Yeah, well, I created the Association of Virtual Assistants really to future-proof my business. So I firmly believe that every CEO, they have two jobs. One is to hire the right people, hire the right virtual assistant. And two is to future-proof your business. And that's what I have been doing since I have been in business. I'm a virtual assistant matchmaker, but I know that's not scalable. I know that's not going to take me to the next level. So I created the Association of Virtual Assistants, which does dual purpose. It helps me scale, but it also helps others coming into the industry, helps create industry standards. And then while I was doing all this and traveling the world, I became a remote work consultant, which I knew would be the future of business. Even when people would say, oh, I could never be remote. That's never my job, never nothing. And, you know, never could have predicted COVID. But if you follow the money trail, remote working was on the money trail 100% because it is so expensive to go into work, traffic, upkeep, you name it. And so even those companies who are like, we don't even like remote working, but you know what, if I can save several hundred thousand, if not millions of dollars, like I'm in, you know, they go for it. And now here we are. And you know, that's the future. So my role is really to help people learn how to embrace that, whether it be hiring the right person, future-proofing their own life by having a virtual assistant business. I mean, the number of virtual assistants in our association who had been a VA as a side hustle only to get laid off and then be able to crank up their business now. I mean, they're way ahead of the game versus everyone now who's coming to me and saying, oh, I don't know how to do this. I've never heard of Zoom before. I'm just starting to use Slack. Like, how do I translate my in-person skills to online skills? So it really just does fulfill all those missions. And then when I do remote work consulting, it's a lot on effective communication and strategy, but I specialize in the hiring process, which is very, very big right now, both for those who have never interviewed anyone online before and those who have never done an online interview. So if my roadmap actually includes starting to record those audio courses for both those looking for work and those interviewing people for work.
Melissa, I'm telling you, she said, I don't speak to the universe. Well, the universe obviously speaks to you because you can see the future. You've been able to lay it out. And I can completely relate because I built my first website in 1994. Back in 1994, I realized that the internet was the only way for me at that time to be a stay-at-home mom and to be able to have an income. And that was over 25 years ago. So that was my roadmap to say, you know what? And everybody said I was crazy and lazy. Like, can you imagine that? That I'm lazy because I want to start an online business, but I was ahead of my time. And if I had realized then how far ahead of my time I was, if somebody could have predicted the future, I'd have bought all the one word domains. Like, that was my thing, like my biggest regret. Like, I'd have bought them all up. I'm going to come back to you, Melissa. I want to go to our next guest, Mr. Kevin Geary. Kevin, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing great.
Nice of you to join us.
Thank you.
You are so welcome. How do you feel this morning?
I'm feeling fantastic.
What do you think about the conversation?
I love the conversation. It's interesting. I'm kind of on Melissa's page, right? Don't dabble in that too much, but it's good to hear.
Yes. So let's talk about what you do dabble in. You are the CEO of Digital Gravy. That made me hungry, like 8 o'clock in the morning. I just wanted some biscuits and gravy. So what is Digital Gravy?
Digital Gravy is a web design, SEO, and digital marketing agency. We primarily work with local businesses, but we do work for blogs and national brands as well. Mm-hmm. But we are tasked with helping businesses grow, doing all the digital stuff that they don't know how to do or aren't good at or just don't want to do.
Mm-hmm. Yes. I do kind of the same thing as far as a business consultant. A lot of times people want to do it themselves. They have this DIY mentality and they'll come to me and they'll ask me, you know, what I do. And I tell them what I can do for them. They go, I do that myself. And then when they try to do it themselves and they realize it is a full-time job, then they come back and they're like, okay, Sharifa, I don't have the time. I just want to run my business, operate my business and not look for keywords and metadata all day. Do you find the same experience?
Yeah, 100%. There's businesses that come in and they know exactly, you know, that they don't want to do any of this stuff and they just want us to handle it. And that's cool. There's a hybrid where clients say, all right, well, I want you guys to do this, but I can do this. And then of course they don't follow through on that. Mm-hmm. Then there's clients who, you know, want to be heavily involved in the process, which obviously ends up slowing everything down. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's a constant balance and a constant struggle of helping the business owner typically understand that they're better off staying in their wheelhouse, like not, mm-hmm. not dabbling in this stuff over here. Obviously we want their input and, we want them to, you know, help us along the way by understanding their business better. But we also want them to just do what they're best at and let us do the actual work.
Yes.
I want to see, do you think when you think of your client and your best client and then one who like knows like this is not the best use of my time, but do you think they would also say like it's not even the most valuable use of their time because they can do something doesn't mean that they should?
Right. Exactly. Yeah. If you're, you know, that's with online business owners, as you were just talking about, that's a trap that they get caught in all the time. They can do lots of things because when they started out, they had to learn it all, right? Mm-hmm. And because they can do it, they keep doing it. And they don't realize that continuing to do that stuff is actually holding them back because it's not what actually grows their business. It's just, you know, and then they end up tinkering and wanting to move things around because they can. But that, you know, obviously it doesn't mean anything to the bottom line. So it's a trap that everybody, you know, can easily fall into.
Kate, you had a question?
Oh, I wanted to know where Kevin is. You said you work with local businesses, but.
Yeah, I'm in the Atlanta area.
Oh, that's right. Now yeah. I remember from your bio. Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, but when you say local, do you only work with businesses in the Atlanta area, or?
No. We have businesses outside of Georgia. We have international businesses that we've worked with, but primarily we like working with and growing local businesses.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So Amy Trout Hughes has a comment. She said, yay, Melissa, that's so smart. As business owners, just because we can doesn't mean we should. So just reading some of the comments that we have today, I want to go ahead, since we started the conversation, introduce Kate Farrell. And she is amazing as well. She's a storyteller. She's an author. And I always look for little keywords and buzzwords that interest me, that stand out. And she's also a librarian. I was like, oh, that's kind of cool. That's kind of fun. I like messing with librarians. They gotta they gotta sit there all day and be quiet, make sure everybody's quiet. You know what I mean? Good morning, Kate. How are you?
Hi, good morning. I'm so glad to be here. And here's my book, just so you can see it. Can you see it?
Story Power.
So I am a retired librarian. Mm-hmm. But when I went to library school at UC Berkeley, I didn't want to go into public library. I wanted to go to the schools because that's where all the children were. And I've had a wonderful career working with teachers, with children. And what I discovered about storytelling, because librarians were the ones who became storytellers. Mm-hmm. We were actually taught storytelling in graduate school. And it seems to me that that is what held the children's interest the most. Mm-hmm. And I wanted teachers, librarians to use storytelling because it connects directly with people. And it's the most ancient art in the world. And yet right now it's trending. It's mm-hmm. big time trending. It started, I think, with TED Talks and then with The Moth, if you know The Moth, personal stories. And then into marketing and engagement, and even into the political sphere. So I just want to give a shout out to Senator Kamala Harris from the San Francisco Bay Area, and say that she was the one who was remembered the most during the primary presidential debates because she told the story. She told the story about once there was a little girl who took the bus every day to school, and that little girl was me. That tiny vignette was what stayed with her. Even I saw in the news yesterday and this morning, people are quoting that one line. It's a storyline. And so I just want you to know that the book is meant for everyone. It could be a grandma, it could be a business leader, and it could be anyone in the virtual world right now who's trying to connect. And so
for every job seeker, I'll say that I consult people all the time, and you have to craft your career story, particularly if you are changing fields at complete industries, or if you have been at one job for 20 years. That is an awful resume to look at. You need to craft that career story, and it needs to like be on paper as well. So it really is for anyone who is seeking work right now, you should be reading that book and learning how to craft your career story.
That's right. And in one of the chapters, it's called The Stuff We Are Made Of, you know, the Shakespearean quote. I start out with a defining story and then the signature story. And I have a number of examples. That's what's great about the book, is that I tap my friends and other people to give their tips and little sample stories. So the signature story is extremely important. And I've told this one signature story, which is in the book, actually it's on my website, to publishers, to grant makers, to in my trainings. And I've told it so many times, but every time it makes a hit. It really is a powerful way to present yourself. Because when you say, oh, I learned this in a very difficult job situation, this was my aha moment. And then you're the hero of that story. People identify with you and they want to learn to do that thing.
I love it. It reminds me of a friend of mine said to me one time, she says, Sharifa, you have such an interesting life. And I told her, I said, my life is no more interesting than anyone else's. It's just the way I tell it. You know, I love to tell these escapades and these stories because I'm always doing something and I'm like, oh, I got to tell people about this and tell people about that. And I just like making fun stories that people can relate to. The other thing is stories is really why I launched my first radio show in 2009 as Sharifa Radio. I interview business owners and CEOs and executives. And so over time, it has evolved into the Roundtable Talk Show. But people would come on the show and talk about, this is my business, this is my product, this is my service. And I'm like, yeah, that's a nice product, but who are you? What is your story? How did you get here? What are some of the challenges, the struggles, the successes, the obstacles? That's what we want to hear about, because people, the majority of people who tune into me are entrepreneurs, and many of them are just starting out right now. So they want to learn from other people. And so that's what the Roundtable Talk Show is about, is sharing your stories, because there's someone just like Amy Trout Hughes who says, storytelling is a critical component of owning your brand. I love the idea of a signature story. It's more powerful impact than an elevator speech. So you are definitely on the right path. I love it. I want to go and introduce our next guest, which is a husband and wife team. They're going to tell us about their new product, the Lens app. Welcome, Lamont and Katrina. Good morning to the two of you. How are you?
Good morning. Good.
Thanks for having us.
Y'all still with us? How y'all enjoying the conversation?
Good. I love that tarot card. Everything that she said, it was like she's talking to me. Get out of my business, Miss Sue.
And for me, I'm just trying like, to keep from being the one to say something dumb while the mic's on. Because I keep up your comment, but my comments might not be topic ready, so I'm being real quiet because I have a slippery tongue at times.
Lamont, I'm with you, because when I ran for Long Beach City Council, my friend, my campaign manager, my team, we would always go to the different forums, different meetings, and they like go, Sharifa, are you okay? I was like, I just don't want to turn into a meme. Like, Lord, if I could just not turn into a meme, that's all I ask you for today.
Save yourself, girl.
So I can relate to the two of you, but let's talk about your app. Let's talk about that, because I love, we're going to have you on a face-to-face talk show, because I love what you're doing. I made a post because everybody was talking about disbanding the police and doing all these things. And I live in Long Beach, California. My brother lives in Australia. And I called my brother and I said, do you have a spare bedroom? He said, no. I said, do you have a couch? He said, yeah. I said, okay, well, if they disband the police in Long Beach, I'm going to be on your couch, just so you know, because I will not be in Long Beach without the police force. But tell us, I'm being honest. And this is recorded. Like, if they leave, I leave.
Right.
Well, because we're talking about stories, I'm going to give you a tiny bit of backstory to let you know who I am, who we are, and then we'll get into it. I'm going to start off by saying I wanted to be a police officer my entire life. At 15, I had a bad run-in with a cop in my hometown. I was playing basketball. There had been a brawl earlier that day, but I didn't know that because I was out of town. While I was shooting the basketball, he came up behind me, pushed me in my back, my shoulder hit the basketball support, and he cuffed me for playing basketball.
Then is that a crime these days?
Huh?
I said, is playing basketball a crime these days?
Exactly. And so he wouldn't let me talk to my mom. They took me to the police station, and I was there for 3 hours. I could hear my mom raising hell in the lobby, but they wouldn't let me see her. So we go to the hearing. When the judge realizes what happens, he rips that police officer a new one. He cuffed me because I was 6'3", 195 pounds, and he was scared. I was 14, 15 years old. Mm-hmm. So at that point, I didn't like cops no more, and I stayed away from it, but I still worked in the system. Now, getting into the app, we were sitting there doing all the protests and stuff. I'm a Lyft driver, and I'm a school teacher. So I went out that night and was driving around. We came back in. My wife's sitting there. She's watching all the George Floyd protests, and I sat on the bed beside her, and I get a ding, and I had just got rated for the ride that I just completed, and it kind of pissed me off because I'm like, we rate drivers, we rate food people, we rate stores, but we do not rate police officers, and that ain't right. So within 4 days, we was grabbing information and getting stuff out, and we built the app based on that. And then you can go into the more details of the particulars that's in the app since I gave them.
Okay, before you go on, Katrina, I just want to comment on what you said, Lamont. What I love about your story, which is your life, because sometimes when you call someone's life a story, they're like, okay, well, this is not just something that's made up, is that when something positive comes out of a negative. Right? If that situation had not occurred to you, then you might not have been as adamant about doing this now. The other thing is sometimes when people don't experience something personally, they don't really understand. They don't know what's going on. They just think, oh, it's the world is happening. But you saw some things that specifically happened to you, and you stood up and said, I have to do something. And I applaud both of you for that. So Katrina, tell us about the particulars, please.
He's the brains behind it. I'm just the one that adds all of the color and the fluff to it. But it's like you said, it's just basically the app that allows you to rate your encounter and your experience with the police. The rating is on a 5-point scale, and you rate them according to professionalism, courtesy, information and education, protect and serve, and speedy resolution. So those are the 5 points that you would use to rate the officer that you encounter, either a 1 through 5. When you make a complaint, it would either be 1 star or 2 stars. Anything 3 stars and up is basically a decently good encounter. You can talk about how you put it forward.
Now, and the reason for doing this, everybody was talking about defunding the police, or we need some type of database to be able to track police movement throughout the country. Somebody commits an egregious act and you see he has 12 complaints, but the public never know that. So mm-hmm. by us creating this app and controlling the server, we're now a third party where data can't be distorted and buried from the public. We're setting our thing up just like a public forum. So in your area, you'll be able to log into the app when you download it and see what's going on where you live at.
Just like Waze.
Yeah, just like Waze. So we're tying them together.
I think this is so incredible. There's a few things that stick out to me. The amount of times that you use Just is so many for something that is so incredibly compelling. It's not just anything. It's incredible. And the other thing is that you put this together in 4 days. Like, that is incredible, because so many people out there have this idea and then they just sit on it.
Well, those were 4 sleepless days.
Yeah, those were 4 sleepless days.
I mean, everyone, if you want something, you just gotta be ready to go get it. I just work-life balance thing. Don't get me started on that. I don't believe it. But I mean, you gotta go get it. I love that you had this thing, this idea, which is incredible, and then you went out and you did it. So many people are just sitting on the thing that would take them to the place that they want to go, and they do nothing. And I if agree, nothing Melissa. Else, I mean, that is the most incredible thing I've ever heard. Thanks. 4 days off the charts.
I agree with Melissa, because I always say
something because of just the way that things were happening with mm-hmm. the George Floyd and the Breonna Taylor and the Ahmaud Arbery. And I have a 13-year-old son mm-hmm. and, you know, and I have a 20-year-old daughter. And, you know, my daughter rides out with her friends and she's already encountered getting stopped by police riding in the car. You know, and like I says, I have a 13-year-old son who, when he goes to the basketball court, I am in hysteria because you don't know, you can't see. And so this really was just like a labor of love for not just our children, but for everyone's child who you hope and pray that they come home that night.
And for me, it was about education, because I'm a U.S. history teacher and my history starts at the end of slavery. That's a problem, because my student population is 90% minority. So I'm either stuck with teaching lies or informing them. I choose to inform them, so I do not teach lies. So everything that's going on right now, anybody who had my history class is already prepared for the coming down of the statues, the Confederate flag, and then I teach criminal justice. And I was working with a police officer who's trying to recruit the students. So all of that going on in the classroom, when the quarantine happened, we had nothing but time and ideas that we have been working on. So that's why we were so aggressive with it. And also I've been out at the barrel of a cop's gun 4 times in my life. So I know what it feels like to be staring down that barrel, uncertain if I'm gonna make it home or not. So the whole process is, first it was out of anger, but now it's to educate, to try to force legislation, because I want the rating system to be attached to your ability to get promoted, your ability to work overtime. Because a Lyft driver, if you drop below a 3.5, you don't get rides. So why can a cop work with a 1, a 2, a 3? That doesn't make sense. We won't go to bad doctors. We won't send our kids to bad teachers. So we shouldn't be protected and served by bad cops. So we're trying
to
make all cops work for their rating. So you're out there, I'm pulling you over to give you a ticket, but I'm courteous, I'm polite, I get you a speedy resolution, because I want that 5. Forget the fact that you're about to pay some money. I made you feel good about having to spend your money, because I treated you like a human being. And that's where the mistake is made.
Right. And it also brings us back to that the police are here to protect and serve, that the police work for us. So we have to give them some type of review so that we can tell how they're doing. And I definitely agree with Melissa. That's why it's so important. And I'm glad that you pointed that out, Melissa. I always say that there are cemeteries full of great ideas. Many people have ideas, but they take those ideas to the grave because they don't take the next step, which is to take the action to make it happen. Where can we find your app? Or download your app.
I wanted to say this to just give to give it even on both sides. Just the same way that you can report and rate your experience if it's a negative one, you could do the same thing if it's a positive one. We have it set up in the app where you have Officer of the Month, where standout officers who are really doing excellent in that community, you get tagged. You get broadcast. You get praised. You know, so because this is not just, we don't want to promote this as a hate cop app. It's definitely not. It is for the people. It is just, there just has to be some sort of control. There has to be some sort of checks and balances. There has to be some other voice other than an overseer dominating voice that's just, you know, controlling the narrative.
It's the narrative. But you mentioned it was like Waze. To me, you know, I'm just hearing it, it sounds to me more like Next Door. Like that's the feeling that I get from it. And I'm a Next Door person because, you know, again, running for city council, I need to know what's going on in my neighborhood. And one of the things that we discussed is that police officers used to walk the beat. You knew who the officer was. You knew his name. You knew his personality. You might give Officer Johnson something to drink. You know, but now they just roll around in the cars. You never see him. You never speak to him. And you don't have that interaction.
And they don't live in that community. Yeah. So you got outsiders coming in dealing with issues and you lose the village. Yes. And you asked the question about where we can get it. It's going to be on the iOS and Android market. We're in the test phase now, so we haven't released it, but she's going to show you what it looked like.
Okay. L-I-N-F. Lids. I love it. We're going to talk.
Other people who...
I'm sorry if you can't see it.
No, we can see it. It's beautiful.
It's great. I would just like to say, though, to the point that Lamont and Katrina made, I think for people who aren't like in it and you don't experience it, it's not part of your daily life, and yet you're like feel bombarded with everything that's going on right now. There is the most amazing book. It's a game changing book. It's called Bias by Dr. Jennifer Eberhardt. She is incredible. That book is there's just no two ways about it. It's so beautifully written. It brought me to tears because she wrote it in a way that she didn't have to, but she did. And she's an African-American woman, a PhD who experienced a lot and who deals with a lot. And she works with the police departments. And she just really lays out so many things to open your eyes, and you just can't, it's just a game changer. You'll never look at things the same again. And it will give you a really good perspective.
Thank you. I just bought it on Amazon just now.
While we buying books.
I would recommend that book more than anything because. It is just incredible. The thing when I tell people it's beautifully written because she has had so many different experiences, and she could have used her own bias to only put in bad experiences that she had with white officers. And yet she chose to write about bad experience she had with also Black or African-American officers to show what happens to them. And just what happened to her own experience the first time she was ever called doctor. It's just incredible. It's incredible.
Well, I definitely have to check it out. I want to go over to Kevin real quick. Kevin, we've been talking to Lamont and Katrina. I'm blown away with their app. You know, it's something new, something unusual. And from a marketing perspective, I always get excited by companies or products or service that are not typical. You know what I mean? I'm looking for that diamond in the rough. And when I look at this product, I see the diamond in the rough. What do you see, Kevin?
No, I love the idea. I think it's a fantastic solution to an obvious problem. And I think right now the biggest thing, obviously app development is complex and they're already tackling that part, but even if they get the app really great, right? And it doesn't get on anybody's hands, then we miss the opportunity. Right. So right now I'm thinking about exposure and just how do we get the awareness level of the solution out in front of people, especially since the timing couldn't be better, right? It needs to happen now. So even before the app is ready to be in anybody's hands, the awareness needs, like, we could be building a list right now, a waiting list for this app. That's the kind of stuff that, you know, I'm thinking about.
Yeah, we started groups and stuff. We have all three platforms with a group attached to the Lens app, and we're starting to build up a little bit of steam because we were just doing it off of our Facebook friends, but we're like up over 600 on the one group and then something else on the page.
No. Y'all need to hire a publicist. And I can tell you that I know two publicists, awesome publicists. Sharifa knows an awesome publicist. Kate knows a publicist. I bet Melissa knows a publicist. I'm willing to bet that Kevin knows a publicist. Y'all need to hire a publicist and get the word out there, like, no kidding.
Right.
Professional on your side.
And the timing is fabulous because
you need to be on TV. Put
your heart into it. It's something that is, I'm sure if you, Sue, if you did a tarot reading, you'll see it's aligned with their spirit, but it's something that needs to be done. It's yours. It's something that's heartfelt and synchronistic. And I can see so many communities that would want to be involved, school districts that would want to be involved. And ways to reach directly into the students, right, of those age groups and you know, go to the community rec. So if you have a network that's not necessarily marketing network, but community network, then you get both sides of the aisle, you know, you get.
Katrina and Lamont, something that you want to go register on is a website called Product Hunt. And Product Hunt features new technology that is awesome. And it's all over the place. It's community-based. It's, you know, just helping, you know, techies. It's helping life hacks. It's an amazing platform. I love it to death. Go register on Product Hunt and start asking people to upvote your I'll certainly upvote it.
That's a great, like, first step. Absolutely.
Yes.
I'll also say, you know, you have, like she said, get a publicist, right? Because right now there's going to be every news channel. All of these people are looking for solutions, right? Every news channel that's reporting on this stuff is going to want to finally turn the narrative towards solutions, right? And you're the perfect couple to bring on and talk about your solution. Now, the thing is you have to be able to capitalize on this. You have to set up some pieces before any of that happens, because what happens is people go on these news outlets, they get the press, but nobody has an action that they can take. The app's not ready yet. They can't go to the app store, right? And the LINS name, what's it stand for, by the way?
Law Enforcement Notification System.
Okay, perfect. You could go with that when you're on, you know, let's say you're on a news outlet and they give you your 5 minutes or whatever to give your rundown of what this is. If you say, go to lensapp.com or something, right? People are going to misspell that. They're going to forget it, whatever, right? So you're not going to be able to capitalize on those eyeballs that you're getting. So I would say you need one centralized location that you can send people to say the app is coming, get on the list. Just one centralized location. Don't send them to this site over here or this Facebook group over there. One website, and then make it a really, like, common domain name, like ratethepolice.com or gradethepolice.com or something like that. So when you're on the news and you're like, hey, go to ratethepolice.com and get on the list. It's about to be available. Nobody can forget that, right? They're not going to forget that. And then you're going to get all those people, all those eyeballs going to one place, getting on your list. And the minute the app is ready, you send out an email and say, it's ready. Go get it. Let's start using it.
See, this is what we do here at the Roundtable Talk Show. You ordered a book. You've got advice from everyone here.
I want to take it, like, a step further, though, because if we take it and, like, future-proof it and you're doing all these things, then you're going to attract VC money. So if someone comes to you and they say, how much money do you want? How much money do you need and what you're going to use it for? Make sure that you have that down. And then, by the way, also your exit strategy. You might as well start thinking about it now. Because it, by the time that someone asks you, it'll be, like, really out of the blue. Like, it never, you know, these kind of situations, they happen, like, not planned. So if someone comes up to you and be like, hey, I'm interested, how about investing? Like, how much can I invest and how much will I get for XYZ? And what would that money be used for? How will you allow that to grow? Like, you won't have time to say, oh, let me think about it and come back
to you. You have to have those numbers. You might as well
just start thinking about it now. And whatever you start practicing, so it rolls off the tongue and it's like, I need $500,000.
We need 5 million.
Like this.
We need 5 million.
We need millions.
Yeah, so I just wanted to say this. I think this show has been very amazing. But just last point for Lamont and Katrina, I think what Melissa had to say, Sue, Kate, Kevin, everybody. But I just did a panel about 2 months ago, actually two different panels at a church here in Long Beach. The first time I was on a panel, it was the deputy chief of police. He's second to the chief of police in Long Beach. The second time I was on a panel was with the prosecutor of Long Beach. And it was so interesting because after the panel, the prosecutor came up to me. He was like, I haven't met you, but I know your name. Oh, my God, cool. You know what I mean? The prosecutor knows me. But the reason I'm making that point is they were coming out actively looking for solutions. The police department, the cities have to have a solution right now, and not that many people are offering them a solution. And the city that comes up with the solution first is going to be the trendsetter for all the cities across the nation, because they'll be able to say, look what we're doing here. So I, especially Katrina, if I was you, I would put some, you know, my power suit on, hop in my car, schedule a meeting, and go sit down and talk to them, because you have a solution. And they want to be able to show that they're doing something and taking an action to make this world a better place. Now, we are coming down to the last few minutes of the show. And what I love to do at the end of every show is just simply allow my guests the opportunity to speak directly to the audience, to everyone who is watching the show live, as well as everyone who is watching it in the archives. And the comments are coming. We have Jade Elizabeth who says, this is such a fantastic idea. So we'll definitely talk after the show. I have some other people, network ideas that can help you. Like Sue said, I have a huge network that can help you get this out. But I just want everyone to give a few final words on what you want the listeners, the audience to take away from your appearance. And we're gonna go ahead and give you the floor, Kate.
Oh, thank you. You know, as we're talking about this and we're sharing, you know, our work and its impact on society, I want to mention that I've been able to use storytelling in virtual environments during the protests for social justice. And I think it's a very powerful tool. I was able to do stories in black and white with a friend of mine who's from the South and from a Creole background. I grew up part of my childhood along Mississippi Gulf Coast, and we were able to share parallel stories. We worked on them together, we workshopped them, and then we presented them and we had dialogue about it. And to me, we learned so much through the storytelling process. And it's not like just a throwaway, oh, this happened, but really getting deep into the experience and letting us feel it. And so I learned so much from that and from our dialogue, So I'd like to promote storytelling as a way to create community, understanding, and appreciation.
Well, thank you, Kate. We appreciate you. Sue?
Yeah, so besides the fortune-creating aspect of the tarot, what I want to talk about in particular about my book, 21 Templates, is that people try to fit themselves into places and situations where they're really acting against their nature. And personally, I really believe that underneath everything, people want to be loved. People want to be kind. They want to be good people. And there's these layers that get piled on top that everybody else tries to put on us. And what I want to do with the 21 templates is to allow yourself to shine, to be who you really are, and take on the more community-centric aspects of each of those templates. All of them live in you. And you want to express those ones that are really, really, really deep down in your base soul and be who you really are.
I love that. I felt that. You know, it was like in your base soul. That's a, when it goes deep, deep. Thank you, Sue. Kevin, what do you have for us?
I'm going to piggyback on what's kind of happened in the, in this conversation to talk about what I really do, right? We talked about a graveyard of failed ideas or ideas that were never capitalized on. And that being a real shame. The next level up from that is, you know, if we're using Lamont and Katrina as an example, people who take a great idea and execute on it and pour their heart and soul into it and so much work and time and effort, but because the maybe the marketing piece isn't there, or they do the marketing, but it's just not effective, or, you know, business owners getting in their own way for various reasons, it doesn't actually get out to who it needs to get out to, right? And businesses are about providing value. So any business that's failing to do that, it, you know, that value not getting out into the world is a real shame. There's businesses that are big and getting value out, but they're not as big as they should be. $1 million business that's impacting a lot of lives positively should be a $10 million business impacting a lot more lives beyond that, but sometimes they get stuck, right? So agencies like ours come in and we make sure that those hardworking business owners and the concepts behind those businesses that are supposed to drive value actually do what they're supposed to do and need to be doing in the world. That's what marketing is at the bottom line. And that's how I like people to think about the marketing. So use that as an example. Like, we want to get these great ideas out into the world. We need to make sure that happens.
I think that's wonderful, Melissa.
Yeah, I'm all about hiring the right people. I've said it on this show already. If you're going to be the CEO of your business or the CEO of your life, you need to future-proof your business and you need to hire the right people. And whether that's hiring the right virtual assistant, we've created many ways to do that inexpensively and transparently through the Association of Virtual Assistants. You can join as a client and hire a VA for one-off jobs. It doesn't have to be a long, you know, process, but if you just want to hire a VA to build your lead page, to build your email capture, to build your free ebook, to build that lead magnet that you want. You want to post a job. You don't even have to join. You can post a job now. But we're making it really easy for people to do that. And then as a virtual assistant, if you're going to join or you're thinking about doing this, this is about future-proofing your life and not expecting that your job that you have in your office right now is always going to be there. And we provide free resources and education and training all in our member portal. We provide a support system for you to keep you in the right mindset. And right now is actually really the time to join if you're a virtual assistant, because our prices are going to double September 1st. So if you join right now, you get to have that price for the life of your membership. Mm-hmm. But if you wait till after September, you'll pay double.
No, we love to save money here. So I'm going to split right. this up and we're going to start with Katrina.
I'll give it to him first.
Okay.
All up in a bow.
Okay.
Basically, I really enjoyed what everybody had to say. It was a lot of valuable information. Some of the stuff we started, but might not have been on the right direction. And what I want everybody to take from this project is coming from a place of love. We genuinely want to see change in this country. It gets hard watching TV day in and day out when you see continued injustice and you're sitting there watching stuff that is obviously wrong and people trying to support and protect. Presidents trying to support and protect it and act like it's right. So that's what this project is about. We really want to see change. The download isn't even going to cost anybody any money. It's a free download because we want the information out there that fast, that easy, and we need that data to force the change.
This was a beautiful forum. I just really appreciate all of you beautiful ladies and handsome young men for just your words of wisdom. Miss Melissa, thank you so much for that book. I really, really appreciate it. I downloaded it already. I just want to say about the Lens app, we're trying to make it everything that is great and wonderful. There's so much content in it as far as education, as far as just protection and just knowledge. And it's a labor of love for
everybody.
For everybody. It really, really is. My heart's just been so broken with the way that things have been going. And I'm just grateful for the platform to talk to you and to spread with the world what God has put on our hearts. and how to, you know, move and go forward with this. The Lens app, it's coming out, downloadable August 28th, available on Android and iOS, Apple.
And you can also see us, the Lens. That's where everybody's coming to submit their emails for the quicker downloads when the information is available.
I think that's wonderful. Again, we all applaud you for what you're doing and not just sitting back and allowing things to happen, but stepping up and making an active difference in the world. So I think that is beautiful. I want to thank you all for being here on today's episode of the Roundtable Talk Show. And I especially want to thank everyone who tuned in to watch the show live, as well as everyone who is watching in the archives. Just because you're watching in the archives doesn't mean you're any less important. We still appreciate you, we still value you, and we still want you to go ahead and share the show. I told you early on, this was going to be an amazing show. I felt the energy backstage. I saw it was going to happen, and that's why I said, go ahead and wake your neighbor, call granny, do whatever you have to do. So please go ahead and share the show, but don't just share the show. Support the show, support our guests. Their websites, their information is in the Facebook post. Visit their websites, follow them on social media. And when you send that tweet, when you send that email, please let them know Sharifa Hardy says hi. And if you are interested in being a guest, please visit the website at asksharifa.com. Until tomorrow morning at 8 a.m. Pacific Standard Time, everyone have a safe and a blessed day. Bye now.